Hello, and welcome to the commentary for lesson 284, 1 Kings chapter 4. So that was a tough reading. I stumbled a little bit, did as good as I could, but this really is just sort of a record. There's not a whole lot to say about it. Solomon, it goes through Solomon's officials and governors. He has 11 high officials. Some are priests, he has historians. He has a historian, a secretary, or two secretaries, a commander of the army. He has one man, Azariah, son of Nathan, who was in charge of the district governors, and there are 12 district governors. So it's all very well organized. He's got a trusted advisor, who is a priest. He's got a manager of the palace property, and he's got someone in charge of the labor force. Everything's very well established, well organized, and he doesn't try to rule everything himself. We see a good example through King Solomon, and that is that he empowers others to have high positions in the kingdom, and so they are to rule over, you know, these 12 governors. I've never seen the word governor in the biblical text before. So they're split up by districts. And so this is sort of like counties, right? Our counties. And we have city governors. We have county officials. And so it's just interesting to see that play out and know that that was necessary even way back then. And it was all very organized, and they each had specific responsibilities. So it helped everything go smoothly. So this was basically, this organization was essential for proper governing, right? In order to make sure that everyone was well, and everything was going as smoothly as it could. And this was a time where things were peaceful. Things were good. There was much prosperity. And it was all because Solomon was so wise. And remember, he had prayed for that wisdom. So that came from God. What else to mention? Okay. I just want to point out a couple scriptures. In verses 20 through 34, verse 20 says, "The people of Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand on the seashore. They were very contented with plenty to eat and drink." So, and then Solomon ruled over all the kingdoms from the Euphrates River in the north to the land of the Philistines and to the border of Egypt in the south. So that was the land of Canaan that God promised the people. I want to jump back real quick just to Genesis 22, verse 17. This is when God is speaking to Abraham. And we remember back in lesson 12, that was a lesson that I remember well because it's the lesson where God tested Abraham and told him to take his son Isaac and offer him as a sacrifice, as a burnt offering to the Lord. And I never liked that story, and so I remember going through that. It's back in lesson 12 if you want to refer to it, but that is a story where Abraham's faith was tested, and I also believe, of course, that it was also an example of, it should disturb us, the idea of sacrificing a child should disturb us. I think it's also to put it in perspective that that's what God did for us by allowing Jesus to die on the cross for us. You know, Jesus is God's son. So Genesis 22 verse 17 has God speaking to Abraham after he's been tested and proven himself to be obedient. Verse 17 says, "I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies, and through your descendants all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me." So I love that. It uses again the phrase of the sand on the seashore, grains of sand, and that's just to say that there's more than you could possibly ever count. And so back in 1 Kings 4, we see that, you know, God's promise to his people has come to fruition. And there are many fruits because of God's promise, but also because of the obedience and the work of David and his son Solomon. They have put God in his proper place. They've had their share of issues. Solomon will in the future have his share of issues, and we will see that because we do still have a sinful nature. And so now we come to a place where Israel is living as God had promised them. They were very content with plenty to eat or drink. Now we know, right, from times of excess, times of contentedness, that it is our human nature to start to take things for granted, get distracted, get lazy, feel like we deserve this, feel entitled, right? Well, I think our nation is sort of there now, don't you? It's been a little harder lately since 2008, that financial collapse that our market had kind of shook us up. And since then, we've been trying to recover as a nation. And our economy seems to be getting better. I'm optimistic that it will, but it just reminds me of the cycles of humanity and how, because we're here at this place of excess prosperity and wonderfulness, that it's going to crash. It's going to come crashing down because it always does. So, so you can just be sure of that. But verse 25 says, during the lifetime of Solomon, all of Judah and Israel lived in peace and safety, and from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south, each family had its own home and garden. So I have a home and I have a garden, and I don't ever want to take those things for granted. This is a time of plenty. This is a time where even though there's suffering in the land in general, us Americans have it pretty good. Right? Even the poor among us have it pretty good. None of us, I know there are kids that go without meals and there are people who struggle with hunger, but generally speaking, you know, we don't hear about people dying of hunger. We don't hear about starvation. We don't hear about huge plagues that just wipe out whole towns. We're doing pretty good, right? Verse 29, God gave Solomon very great wisdom and understanding and knowledge as vast as the sands of the seashore. In fact, his wisdom exceeded that of all the wise men of the east and the wise men of Egypt. He was wiser than anyone else, including Ethan the Ezrahite. And I remember him being mentioned before in scripture, I don't know exactly where, as being a really wise man. And it goes into... It says more wiser than it gives other names of people that had a reputation of being very wise. His fame spread, Solomon's fame spread throughout the surrounding nations. He composed some 3,000 proverbs, which, by the way, we are coming up on the book of Proverbs soon, and I'm excited to go through those. Those are very wise guys' sayings, and most or all, I'm not sure, are written by Solomon. So because God gave him this great wisdom, we can be sure that those proverbs hold great secrets for us, great things revealed to us about how to live our lives and the things, how to structure our lives where we give priority to the proper things in a way that honors God. So those are coming up and I'm excited. And Solomon also, it says that he wrote 1,005 songs. Well, he did write a couple of the Psalms that we see in the Bible, specifically Psalm 72 and 127, which we'll read in the next lesson. He also wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, or at least part of it, and Song of Songs. So... Very wise man. He could speak with authority, it says, about all kinds of plants and trees. Hyssop is a branch. Hyssop is what they use to cover the, during the Passover, what they use to cover their doorways with blood. And so those are branches either of bushes or trees. I'm not sure. I can't remember. It says that grows from cracks in a wall. Okay. He could speak about animals, birds, all kinds of creatures. He was very wise. Kings from every nation sent ambassadors to listen to the wisdom of Solomon. So everyone admired his wisdom. They paid attention to what he said. They believed what he said. They knew that he was blessed by God. So again, he was a representative of God, and he did very well. He was extremely wealthy, wealthier than anyone possibly ever. I know he's the richest man ever at this point, but I think if you probably did compared their standard of living, their dollar to our dollar, he may be the richest man ever. I wonder how he would compare to the rich men of today, like Trump or Bill Gates. Just kind of wonder what that comparison would be like. Maybe I'll figure that out. But that's really it for this. Just know that, he was obedient to God. He asked for wisdom, and God gave it to him. And all of this other stuff just fell in place because he asked and because he was obedient. So that should be a lesson to us. Do we know God on a personal level? Do we talk to him regularly? Do we read his word? Do we pray to him regularly? If we have that kind of relationship, he knows our heart. We ask for something. If it honors him, if it's something that works into the plan that he has, if it according to his will, he will bless us with that. Maybe not storehouses of gold, but he will give us blessings better than we could even imagine for ourselves. So I just love that. I love where they're at. I love that we are going to get back to some Psalms and then Proverbs. So it's very exciting. I'm glad that we're headed in that direction. So stay tuned. That's really it for today. I hope you all have a great day, and I will talk to you soon.